Hello and welcome back to the Sports Vibe podcast brought to you by Vibe 107.6. This week we go into the international break. Watford off the back of two consecutive home victories at Vicarage Road, both 3-2 against Stoke and then Coventry. As always on the Sports Vibe podcast, we're joined by Ryan Thrussell and Lee Partridge. How are we, gentlemen?
I'm fine, thank you very much, Ryan, Noah.
Good. Glad we're all good. Let's go straight into the Coventry game. 3-2 at Vicarage Road, another 3 points. The Hornets go into the international break second, a very dull first half, and then 5 goals in the second half. Lee, you were at the game, so we'll start with you. What did you make of Watford's performance, fighting back from 2-1 down at one stage?
Well, yeah, that's exactly the point I was going to make. You know, all games throughout the season all tend to start or finish differently or different bits in the middle, so you've got to have to cope with everything throughout the season. And for us to go 2-1 down and then react so quickly to get the equaliser and then go on and to take the 3 points, it shows that there's a lot of commitment and a lot of belief in the side. And, we won't be rolled over. It's all very well going ahead in games and going on to win those games, but that's not going to happen every time. So it's important that when you're in those situations and those positions, you do react in a way that's going to get you the points and the game.
Ryan, a massive improvement since Vladimir Ivic has taken over. Troy Deeney made his 400th Watford appearance. Were you surprised it wasn't Deeney who took the penalty? Watford's winning penalty, Sarr scored it in the end. A completely different style of penalty.
Yeah, I mean, I did have my heart in my mouth. Because I was a bit confused at first why Deeney wasn't taking it. Obviously, being the penalty taker for as long as I can remember. I think, though, there's more to it. And I would have thought that this would have been agreed ahead of the game. Who would have been taking the penalties if Deeney wasn't on the pitch? I think Deeney had literally just walked on. So, probably felt as though he didn't want to take it, maybe. Didn't felt like, after not playing much of part this season, probably didn't think it was right he took it. And also, you know, with his media work as well, I think on his 400th game, if he missed the penalty, it's a story. So he probably would have had to explain a bit more about that in the media work he does. But, you know, good on him to let the younger player take the penalty as Sarr. Sarr scored it. I mean, it was a bit of a bizarre run-up, which got me a little bit worried. But, you know, he has quality, Sarr, doesn't he? And it's going to only build his confidence scoring more goals. So I think that's, what, 3 and 4 matches now. So it's good that he's up and running. And, you know, the positive thing is, as Lee says, we came back quickly because I didn't feel like we deserve to be 2-1 down in that match. I think we were the better side, but that's the championship for you and it's how you react. And we did that, and in a positive position now.
And Lee, it's great to see the skipper back on the pitch. Troy Deeney, it hasn't started yet. He hasn't been in the starting 11. He said on Hive Live that that's what he's working on, but it's good to see Troy Deeney back at Vicarage Road.
Yeah, absolutely. And he looked fairly trim, fairly fit as far as I could see. Talking about the penalty, you know, it doesn't matter who takes it, as long as it hits the back of the net. I remember asking Troy one particular time, he was during a game, we'd got a penalty, and I'm sure it was Lewis McGugan that took it. So this is going back whenever, I don't know, six, 7 years ago. And I remember asking him after the game and saying, how comes, you know, you didn't take the penalty, Troy? And he says, look, Lewis is having a really good game. So in those instances, you know, although he was a penalty taker, you know, they'd discussed it. Lewis was having a good game and had been on the ball more. And so, they sort of made that decision there and then. That's going back then. So sometimes things can change. We see it sometimes where you see a player grab the ball and then someone else grabs it. And they're saying, I'll tell you what, it happened. I saw it this week in something. It was in a cup game, FA Cup game. And it was Oxford City, that was it, against Northampton. And the Oxford City player grabbed it, wanted to take it, and then missed it. so there you go. It can be fine margins. So sometimes it's better just to go into it, into that decision as a collective, even if it is a penalty taker. But going back to what you said, great to see Troy back involved. You know, Troy being on the bench just gives you that lift as well. You've got someone with the experience that scored at the top flight, played at the top flight, also with the advantage of playing in this division, you know, scored 20 on the spin for us in this division before we got promoted. or 3 years on the spin. So yeah, I mean, our squad, if you look at it, you know, when we make these changes, they're like for like. There's no weakness. You don't say, oh, you know, Shalabar's on the bench and Garner's come in, or, you know, Truste Kong starting, you know, whoever we come on. You only got to look at the on the bench the other day against Kov, Shalabar, Dini and Gakka, Pedro, Kina, you know, just to name a few that were on the bench.
Well, the squad depth is incredibly strong in Watford's situation. Hughes and Gray returning to fitness. We'll stick on squad depth. Krajinovic has joined the long list of managers in favour of five substitutions. Ryan, surely it would favour Watford if English football and the FA five substitutions were introduced.
Well, it would with Watford's squad strength. I mean, I've always been a believer, stick to three. It's the way that it's been. Look, I mean, but, you know, I can understand the arguments for it this season. I did sort of come round to the idea a little bit more the last week or so, just because of the amount of games players are playing compared to what they have played previously. I mean, what, they're playing two a week now? And, you know, it's... They're saying that players are going down with more injuries and more muscle injuries. It's obviously a tough debate because, you know, people are going to turn around and say that the bigger teams want the five substitutions because it favours them. But when you look at the injuries of the players, and you have to think, well, they are playing more matches now. To be honest, I don't think it will change this season, but it might do.
Well, we go into the international break with question marks over that five substitutions introduction, but Kentema, Cathcart, Saar, Sirielta, Truste Kong, Ben Wilmot all play for their international sides. Are we excited to see England against Iceland and Belgium? Lee, you're a big fan of international football, I take it.
I am, yeah, and you know, I've been to see England many occasions. Yeah, the Iceland game would be good to get. The main test is going to be Belgium, isn't it? You know, the game against Ireland, 3-0. You know, still got to win these games. You know, fairly solid performance for England. Weren't really pushed too much. Goals from Maguire, Sancho. Ex-Watford, of course. I think from 7 to 14, it was at Watford. I think I got that right. And Dominic Calvin-Lewin, who's on fire this year. Great to see him scoring a penalty for England. But the real test will be against Belgium. And then going into the Iceland game. But, you know, these... I'm still undecided about the Nations League, as in it just seems to be such a build-up of games, on top of domestic. Then we go with friendlies, then we've got the Nations League, and then we've got the Euros that have been postponed to next year. So, yeah, I mean, it's great to see England doing well. Such a young side, and they're sort of playing without, you know, without being worried, and they can express themselves. So that's fantastic to see. If we can keep that mix of a little bit of experience along with these younger players coming through, you know, we've got a real good chance of continuing to get results and going into the Euros next year, all being well. Let's just hope we get the fans back in there by then. Let's hope this vaccine is as good as what they're saying at the moment. We can get fans back in there to get back to see not just domestic football and our local sides, but also the international games.
Well, let's hope so. Ryan, Ben Wilmot called up to the England under-21s. It's fantastic for his career and for Watford as well. Another Watford player getting called up to an international squad. But Ben Wilmot, it's brilliant to see that he's with the Three Lions now.
Yeah, well, he's clearly a quality young player, and he's shown that at the start of the season for Watford this year. You know, and obviously it's good he got the experience last year at Swansea. He's had a few, I think, you know, a few mistakes crept into his game at Barnsley. I know that he felt quite bad for it, but he gives 100%, and I think, you know, he will learn from those as a young player and get better. You know, I just want to mention, obviously, a bit gutting for Craig Cathcart last night. I watched that match, the Northern Ireland match against Slovakia. It's a shame, actually, close game, and it obviously pips at the post at the end by Slovakia. But, you know, that must be quite gutting for Craig Cathcart, as it was good to see a crowd in at that match, actually. I mean, they made a lot of noise, the 1,000 fans that were inside Windsor Park. You know, also a massive shout-out to Ken Semmer playing for Sweden. I think he's suddenly become a big fan's favourite at the club. Mm. And his performances this season have been absolutely outstanding. So, you know, it's great that he's still been able to keep his momentum and going and playing for his national side.
Well, all top professionals, as is Adrian Mariappa. He's been at Watford on and off since the age of 9. He's joined Bristol City this week as a free agent, left in the summer as a free agent, and he's joined the Robins on a free transfer until January. He's 34 years old, tons of experience. He was a part of the furniture at Watford. He's gone now, though, but what a man he is, Lee.
Oh, he's been brilliant for us. You know, at times he's been criticised by you know, certain people among fans, which I think is really unfair. You know, he's always give 100%. You know, everybody makes mistakes in football. We're just talking about, you know, Ben Wilmot making mistakes, but you learn from mistakes. And, you know, these players, you can see that they give 100%. He's been fantastic for the club. You know, he's been to, when he left us initially, well, he was there from the age of eight. So, to play for his boyhood club for so long, left to go to Reading Palace, but then come back to Watford and played with us in, you know, in the top flight, in the Championship. He's seen promotions, relegations, FA Cup runs. He's seen a lot with us, and he's a good guy, Adrian Mariappa. He's going to Bristol City, and he'd be down there alongside Rennie Gilmartin, ex-Watford goalkeeper. He's down there on the coaching staff as well. So, yeah, it's good to see Maps. And it's funny, you say like he's 34, just turned 34, and yet he seems to have been around for so long. You know, he's still got some years left in the tank because he's always kept himself, you know, fit as far as I can see. So, yeah, good luck to him. He's a good lad.
Absolutely. You going to miss him, Ryan?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, he is, I think you put him down as a real cult legend at Watford because, yeah, he's made, what, over 300 appearances for the club. Remember him back in the first season in the Premier League when we were there in, what was it, 2006, playing. I think it was a right back then. And then, obviously, I've watched Watford as he was captain. I always remember him scoring a goal away at Wolves where we got absolutely battered. So that was the days when, you know, after we got relegated from the Premier League first time round. So, and seeing him come back. And the thing with Mariappa, he always put in over 100% into every match that he played for Watford. Even if he made mistakes, he'd still, you know, have Watford at his heart every time he played. And it was a shame that no one was there inside the ground when he made his 300th appearance. And because he clearly loves the club, and his post yesterday on Instagram showed that. I mean, to be honest, the way the club handled his situation of him leaving, not even put anything out to say that, probably wasn't right, but they have apologised for that because I think they did get a bit of a wrath from the fans. But yeah, I'm sure he'll put in 100% at Bristol City, and I'm sure at some point in the future we'll see him back at Vicarage Road, which will be great to see.
We'll keep our fingers crossed. Let's move on to our local non-league sides. Wealdstone sits second in the National League at time of recording. An incredible start for the Stones under Dean Brennan. They beat Halifax Town on Tuesday night and Altrincham on Saturday. It's what we really love to see from Wealdstone in the National League South. Hemel Hempstead are now 15th. It feels like one step forwards and two steps backs for the Tudors. They beat Bath City 2-1 on Saturday, but Lee Burcham's side lost 3-1 at home to Dartford on Tuesday night. So bittersweetly in local non-league football.
Yeah, like you say, it's good to see the Stones doing some absolutely flying. Incredible to see them sitting second in the division. And I know it's early. I know it's early days, but you can get some indications about obvious performances and the intention of the side. So, there is a real belief that the Stones could, you know, keep going till the end of the season and get promoted, which would be incredible. From how they've been in recent years or over the last, you know, 10 to 15 years. Hemel, but they've got a couple of results. You know, they're 15th, sitting 15th in the league. A few teams around have got games in hand, but they got some points in the bag. And there's a bit of distance now between them and the bottom. Also, St Albans, they've got games in hand over the teams above, and they're sitting in fourth. So they've got a couple of games in hand. So once again, you know, they've started the season fantastic. And, you know, well-positioned, even though it's really early in the season, you know, it's still important to get the start that they have. And, once again, a real optimism at the club for playoff places or even automatic promotion.
Well, like you say, Lee, St Albans up to fourth in the National League South. 9 league games unbeaten now. The Saints beat Chippenham Town at home 3-0 on Saturday. They beat Braintree Town 2-1 on Tuesday night, Ian Allison's side doing very well indeed. And finally, we'll end the podcast by congratulating Luke Garrard's Boreham Wood, who beat Southend United on penalties in the first round proper of the FA Cup on the weekend. They play Canvey Island in the next round at the end of the month. And Ryan, Marine, how did they do in the FA Cup?
Yeah, Marine from Crosby up in Liverpool. They're through to what, the lowest ranked side left in the FA Cup. Beat Colchester away, which, I mean, that was a massive result, and they've got a great home tie next for a chance in the third round. And also, you know, Boreham Wood, amazing opportunity for them to reach the third round of the FA Cup, which will just be brilliant. I think that well, it's going to be a tough match away at Canvey Island. They'll be up for that. But, you know, we spoke about this last week, just, you know, how amazing it is that, you know, these clubs are able to progress as far as they do. And, you know, everyone thought, well, without fans in the ground making an impact, is that going to help these clubs? Or, you know, will it take away the home advantage? And in some respects, for some of the clubs, like Marine, who went to Colchester, they performed probably better than what they ever thought they would do. So, you know, massive for these clubs, especially, you know, where times are hard for a lot of these teams trying to just stay in business, really, in terms of the lower leagues. It's going to be, a great opportunity for them now in the second round. And, you know, for Boreham Wood, as much as, you know, we'd love to see Canvey Island also progress through, I mean, what an opportunity, probably the best they ever have of reaching the third round, which will just be a huge success story for the town of Boreham Wood, the local area, and obviously the club itself.
It would be incredible. Barnet also beat Burton Albion as well. So they face MK Dons in the next round. That's about it from us. Go on, Lee. What are you going to
say? Sorry, I'm just saying, just going on from exactly what Ryan said, you know, for these teams that are making it through to the second round, you know, Canvey Island, Marine, haven't a Waterloo, got a real good chance, Boreham Wood, Barnet, etc. All the teams that are in the second round got a good chance of getting into the third round. You know, I don't know how the finances stack up, but these teams are, you know, some of them really are struggling because the matchday income has just been, you know, zapped away from them from no fault of their own. Normally, they get a percentage of the gate receipts. If you get drawn away at a big club, that can be big money for these smaller clubs. And I don't know quite how it sits with finances regarding the FA Cup and the FA, etc. But you know what? It's really important that the big broadcasters that put it on the TV, you know, whether it be your Sky, your BT, even your Amazons or your BBCs, but they cover these games and these smaller clubs. And, you know, that if that raises, you know, some sort of revenue for them, then that's even better, because the FA Cup, you know, it's one for the fans and it's one for the underdogs and for the players that, you know, and fans alike get to see their dreams be made, so to speak.
I'm pretty sure we will see Boreham Wood and on the TV, I think, simply because Canvey Island, they're at home and they're the lowest ranked team left in the Cup. So, well, at the time, in terms of league, placed in the same league as Marine, I think. So, they wouldn't be, would they? Because they're two separate areas around the country. But that's beside the point. I mean, I think that they're... you know, it'll be good if Boreham Wood can get that tie. And, you know, the BBC did a great job at covering all the matches via a link online. So fans were still able to watch that, which was, you know, good news.
Well, we love the FA Cup here on Vibe 107.6. That's about it from us. Lee, what's your golfing update this week? How's Callum Shinquin been doing? Has he played?
They finished. They stayed out in Cyprus. Poor people after his maiden European Tour wins. They stayed out there. They played in Cyprus for a showdown, it was called. It was a Cyprus showdown. He finished tied fifth in that, so another good weekend performance. And Matt Wallace, who's used to play at Moor Park and from Pinner initially, he is out in the Masters, playing in the Masters. And after the first round, there's still a few holes because they lost the lights. Some have still to finish. But tied 13th, 3-under. So that's a great first round for Matt Wallace out in the Masters.
Well, congratulations to both of those golfers. so used to talking about boxing. I was going to ask you, Lee, have you ever done one of those trick shots where you skim it across the water like the Spaniard did this week?
Oh, John Rahm, that's incredible. If you haven't seen that, even if you don't like golf or you're not interested in it, have a look at it online. John Rahm, hole-in-one. At the Masters, in the warm-up round, he skims it across, just as Noah was saying, across like a small lakey pond type thing, across the water, comes up, rolls right the way round, and pops in. No, whenever mine, he's fantastic, but whenever mine go near the water, they stay wet, that's for sure.
Incredible. It really was incredible. Well, that is just about it from the Sports Vibe podcast this week. Thank you guys for listening. As always, you can catch the podcast on all major streaming platforms if you want to listen back to any of the previous ones. And yeah, stay safe and have a good week, guys.
Cheers, Noah. Cheers, Rob.